Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. If you have your Bible there, turn it to Mark 11, verse 22. And we're going to be talking about strategies to kick the devil out, to remove that liar, the murderer from our life, and move forward in the kingdom of God, that there would be nothing hindering us, that there would be nothing standing in the way between us and fulfilling our calling. And so many of us have baggage that we're carrying around. I know I've carried my share of it over the years, and I'm sure you have too, things that have tormented you and dogged you and held you back and caused you to doubt and caused you to procrastinate and caused you to move off into the wilderness area, and that is not God's will. We want to take authority over that devil in our lives. We want to take authority and kick him out and get him out and keep him out once and for all. And so as you think about this message, you practice what I am going to tell you today. You practice it. Take the practical steps to remove the devil from your life. Take those practical steps and you will see victory. You will see the devil start to leave. He will not want to stay around where he is not welcome. Well, in Mark 11, verse 22, Jesus had just cursed the fig tree, and he cursed it because it had no fruit on it, and the leaves withered and dried up. And so as he came back to look at the fig tree with the disciples, he says in verse 22, "Have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that these things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." Verse 24, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask for when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." And so this is lesson number one that I am going to speak about today, and that is when you're trying to remove the devil from your life, when you're trying to kick that dirty devil out of your life, speak to the mountain. Speak to the problem that is causing you to stumble. Speak to that issue in your life that is causing you to go out into the wilderness area and to not bring glory and honor to God in your life. Speak to that mountain and ask the Lord to remove that mountain. And Jesus says, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, if you do not doubt in your heart, but you believe that these things that he says will be done, then you will have whatever you say. Therefore, I say to you, verse 24, whatever things you ask for when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. And so this is the way it works in the practical sense. If you are having problems with alcoholism, you speak, "Lord, I ask you to remove that mountain of alcohol addiction. I ask you to remove that mountain of pornography addiction. I ask you to remove that mountain of lust in my life. I ask you to remove that mountain of infirmity and sickness in my life. I ask you to remove that mountain of envy and jealousy in my life." And so as you speak to those mountains in your life, as you speak to them and you ask the Lord to remove them, then step out in faith and believe that you have already received the answer. You move forward and you pray believing that you have already received. And so as you pray believing that you've already received, it's then appropriate that you start to thank the Lord and you start thanking him. "I thank you, Lord, for setting me free from alcohol addiction. I thank you, Lord, from setting me free from cursing and taking your name in vain. I thank you, Lord, for setting me free from pornography addiction and from looking at things on the internet that I should not be looking at. I thank you, Lord, for removing that spirit of anger from me and giving me that spirit of peace and that spirit of reconciliation." And so as you speak, let your words speak the victory over your life. Let your words speak that you believe that that mountain has been removed and has been removed into the sea, and that you are now walking in victory, and that you are now a conqueror over those things in your life that have caused you to stumble, that have caused you to go astray from the kingdom of God. And as you do that, you will start to see little victories, and then as you see the little victories mount up, you'll start to see bigger victories, and the first thing you know, God is going to be propelling you by His strength and by His power. He's going to be propelling you into your calling and into your destiny in ways that you never thought or imagined that you could go. Now, when you ask, it says here that whenever, whatever you ask for, when you pray, believe that you receive them. Now, when you ask for things from the Lord, you ask for those things which are in His will for your life, and those things which are in His will for the kingdom of God, and He will gladly give you those things that are in His will. And as you think about, well, what is it that God wants? What is God's desire for my life? What is it that the kingdom of God desires from my life? And you look at your life and you think about, what can I do to advance the kingdom of God here on this earth? What can I do? What would God have me to be doing to advance His kingdom here on this earth? And is that appropriate for you then to ask for a new car sitting there in your driveway? Or is it appropriate for you to ask for more money just so that you can spend it on your pleasure? Is it appropriate for you to ask for a better job so that you can buy tickets to ball games and have season tickets to the Broncos or to the Kansas City Chiefs or whatever? Is that really God's will? No, those aren't the things that God is interested in. I hate to bring the bad news to you, but those aren't the things that God is interested in. He is interested in spreading the good news of the gospel around the earth. That is what He's interested in. He is interested in seeing you set free so that the provision that He gives you, the money that He puts into your hand, that money can be used to spread the gospel and to bring the good news of salvation, that Jesus Christ died for every single person on the cross, and that Jesus' blood was shed for our redemption, it was shed for our healing, it was shed for our blessing. And as you pray about things in that vein, as you pray about things in light of what the kingdom desires, what the kingdom of God would be blessed by in your life here, then those things that you would spend on your pleasure, that time and the money and the resources that you spend on your pleasure, don't become a very significant thing in your life. And get used to the fact that God isn't going to necessarily answer your prayers when all you're concerned about is your own pleasure, your own selfishness, your own desire to satisfy your flesh and to satisfy your comfort. God isn't very concerned about those things. What He is concerned about is seeing His kingdom move forward and people come to know Him, people come to be saved, people come to be delivered, and people come to be healed. And if you are praying for those things and how you can help come alongside God to accomplish those things in your life, then when you speak to those mountains that are a hindrance to what God wants to do here on this earth, when you speak to those mountains, then God will see that those mountains are removed from your life. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask for when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. And so God wants to use you, beloved. He wants to use you as a vessel of honor to see the kingdom of God move forward here on this earth. And He wants to use you. He wants to see you go to the nations. He wants to see you go down the street to a neighbor that is hurting. He wants to see you go to the hospital. He wants to see you go to the prison. He wants to see you open up your home to the alien. There's many things that you can do to propel the kingdom of God, to move the kingdom of God forward. And as you think about those things for your life and you pray about those things and those things for your children and those things for, as an intercessor, the people that God has placed in your life for you to be an intercessor for them, as you think about what their needs are and how they can relate to the kingdom, then God will move those mountains out of your life and you will see victory in your life. Well, the second thing that I want to point out to you today in kicking the devil out is you need to close off the portals of entry of the ways that the devil is coming into your life. close off the portals of entry. Shut those doors, shut those windows, and stop letting the devil come in and out of your life and running roughshod over you and beating you up and stealing and killing and destroying from you. Well, in 1 John 2:15, John says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And this world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." Well, that is a confirmation of what I just spoke about speaking to the mountain. He who does the will of God abides forever. Well, John says that there's three primary ways that sin comes into a person's life. The love of the world separates us from the Father. Friendship with the world, James says, friendship with the world is enmity towards Christ. In other words, when you're friendly with the world, you're going to be an enemy of the gospel of the kingdom of God. So don't get too friendly with the world. Don't get too friendly with what's going on here in the natural realm, because our citizenship is in heaven. Yes, we are citizens of America. We're citizens of the country that you reside in. But our main citizenship is in heaven. And it's important for us to keep that in mind and not to get too involved in the affairs of the world. So do not love the world or the things in the world. Are you satisfied with what God has given you at this point in time in your life? Are you satisfied with that? I would suggest that if you're not, if you're constantly striving for more and more material wealth, if you're constantly striving for more things in your life, that your priorities are probably in the wrong place, that your priorities are probably placed too much on the desires of the flesh and things of the world, and you need to get your focus more on the kingdom of God and what God has for you and what his desire is for you. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Well, that is three main ways that the devil comes into our life: through the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The lust of the flesh. The devil nearly always attacks our senses. He nearly always comes to us through the flesh, because our flesh demands pleasure, our flesh demands satisfaction, and so the devil comes to us and he tries to trick us into believing that he is for us and that he is not against us. He tries to trick us into believing that if we can just satisfy our fleshly desires, that we are going to be content, that we're going to be happy, and if we can satisfy our fleshly desires, then we think that we have it all here on this earth. Well, that is not God's will necessarily, that we satisfy our fleshly desires. And so it is very easy to fall in traps of the devil when we are being selfish, when we are satisfying our fleshly desires. It's very easy to fall into the trap of the devil. And once that trap is set and you satisfy your fleshly desire in some way, then the trap goes shut and you are caught in the devil's trap right there. And then secondly, the lust of the eyes, James says. What is it that you have your eyes set upon? What is it that you are looking at with your eyes? The eyes are the great portal of entry that the devil uses to get into our mind, to get into our heart. We see things that we want. We see things that we desire. We see things that are beautiful, and we think we have to have that for ourselves. And we see things that we don't have any right to have. We envy what other people have. We desire what other people have. We see sensual things on the internet and in other places in our life, and it stirs up lust in our hearts, and it stirs up lust in our minds. And so the lust of the eyes is very important, that you keep your eyes in check, that you keep your eyes on the kingdom of God, that you keep your eyes on his holy word, and do not let the devil take your eyes and just rest your eyes on anything. And I know with men especially, it is a very big problem because pornography is everywhere and lustful images. Women dress very immodestly these days, and it's very hard for men not to be tempted by the lust of the eyes. It's very hard for men not to be taken down and taken away by the lust of the eyes. But you have to keep your eyes pure. You have to keep your eyes focused on the kingdom of God. Keep focused on His word. Keep focused on the fellowship, the love of the brethren, the love of others in the fellowship. And as you do that, then you can keep your eyes pure. Your eyes are the lamp to the soul of you. Your eyes, if they are bright, if your eyes are full of light, then the soul is also bright and full of the light of Jesus Christ. And so you need to keep your eyes focused on God. You need to keep your eyes focused on Jesus. Keep your eyes focused on His word. And as you do that, then your soul will be filled with the light of the gospel. And then the third thing John says in relation to portals of entry is the pride of life. Pride goeth before the fall. We know that. It says in a proverb that pride goeth before the fall. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. So pride, God hates pride. He hates it in you. He hates it in me. He hates it in all of His children. He wants you to stay humble. He wants you to stay low. The devil will come to you and he will try to puff you up with pride. He will try to make you think that you are something that you're not. And he will make you think that you don't need God. He'll make you think that it is a waste of time to serve the Lord and to walk with the Lord. Why bother to listen to God in your life when you can do things your own way and have your own way and be selfish and satisfy your own needs? And when you listen to the devil too much and you start to think you're something that you're not, beloved, watch out, because pride comes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And James 4:10, it says, humble yourself before the Lord. Humble yourself before the Lord, and He will exalt you. So the best place to be before the Lord, the best position to be, is on your knees in front of God. That is the best place to be, and to stay humble before God, to stay low, and to receive what God has for you. And don't get haughty, don't get prideful, don't think that you got everything under control and you know everything that you need to know. You keep studying, you keep hungry, you keep asking the Lord to fill you with the Holy Spirit, you keep asking the Lord to take away anything out of you, to burn out anything out of you that is not of the kingdom. And as you stay humble like that and you stay low, then God will exalt you to a place where you don't have to exalt yourself and you don't have to continually puff yourself up and let the devil puff you up. You stay low and God will be the one to exalt you. Well, if you have your Bible there, turn it to 2 Samuel 11. We're going to look at a story of King David here in the remaining minutes of this message. And King David was a warrior king, a man after God's own heart, but he took a great fall in 2 Samuel 11. You may know the story, many of you, but David took a great fall and it affected him for the rest of his life. It took a fall that affected his family. His children rebelled against him. There was chaos in his household. It eventually led to the division of the nation of Israel, and it eventually led to lots of warfare even within his own household. And so when you allow the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life to take over, then all kinds of calamity can result. And King David's life is a perfect example for us to look at and to see how this works in someone's life. In verse 1, 2 Samuel 11, it happened in the spring of the year, at the time when kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the people of Ammon, and they besieged Rabbah, but David remained at Jerusalem. Then it happened one evening that David arose from his bed, and he walked on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful to behold. So David sent and inquired about the woman, and someone said, "Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" And then David sent messengers, and he took her, and she came to him, and he lay with her, for she was cleansed from her impurity, and she returned to her house. And the woman conceived, and she sent and told David, and said to David, "I am with child." And see here that David made many mistakes. He was getting complacent. He was getting lethargic. He didn't go out with his own troops. He didn't go out to battle. He decided to stay back in Jerusalem and loaf. And so he wasn't in the battle that he should have been. And many times that is true of our own life. We're not in the battle that we should be. We're loafing. We're coasting. We're in neutral. And so we take up our life with, fill up our life with things that we shouldn't be filling it up with. Instead of being engaged in the battle and being out there with the troops of the Lord, we're holding back and we're loafing around in Jerusalem. And then David, one evening, he was walking around when he looked out from the roof of his house, and from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and she was very beautiful to behold. Well, right there, the eyes became the portals of entry of the devil into his life. The eyes allowed that lust to stir up in his heart. He gazed at this woman. He saw how beautiful she was, and the devil started putting ideas in David's mind and thinking, "Wow, wouldn't it be nice to be with this woman? Wouldn't it be nice to have this woman in bed with you?" And so David was gazing on this woman, and instead of turning away, instead of walking away from that situation, he started to entertain the ideas about how nice it would be to be with this woman. And she was someone else's wife. It turns out that David found out, he inquired about her, and found out that she was the wife of Uriah the Hittite. But by this time, the lust of the flesh and the desire to have this woman was starting to take over in his mind, started to take over in his heart, and so he desired to have her, and he called to bring her to his side, and then he took her to bed with him, and he lay with her, and she conceived a child through this act of adultery that David had perpetrated. Well, if you are attacked by the devil, and the eyes become the portal by which the devil works his way into your life, and you see things that you shouldn't be gazing at, and you continue to hold your gaze on those things, I can assure you, beloved, that the devil is going to get a hold of you. For those of you out there listening today that are struggling with pornography, you're struggling with lust, maybe you have an adulterous affair stirred up in you, and you're struggling with the ideas of taking someone else's wife, believe me, you need to repent of that right now. You need to speak against that. You need to say, "Lord, deliver me from these lustful thoughts and from these portals of entry that the devil is using to get into my life and to bring chaos and to bring wreckage into my life." Well, we'll look at this story of David more next week. I'm running out of time today, but I just want you to know that the devil is against you, but Jesus is for you. Jesus has a plan for your life. He wants you to succeed. He wants you to be a conqueror. He wants you to be victorious. And by his power, you can be. By his strength and by his might, you can be victorious. And just as David was a man after God's own heart, you too can be a man after God's own heart. You can, if you're in a situation today that you need to get out of, you can repent of that situation. You can ask the Lord to forgive you, and he is a gracious and a merciful God, and he will forgive you, and he will set you free. He'll put you back on that pathway and set you free, that you can fulfill your calling, and you can walk out your days serving the Lord Jesus as it is his desire for you to do. Well, I thank you for listening today. Stay tuned for contact information. We have a great book offer for you today, as we have in the past few weeks. If you send in a donation of any amount, we'll get you a book, Gather the Outcast, Reaching the Lost in Africa, Stories of Africa Crusades and Africa Missions of the last 6 years. And so if you'll get us a donation, we will get that book in your hands right away. Thank you again for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.